Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Petrangelo to Stone through center. Stevenson a step. Stevenson's in. Stopped by Ottinger. What a save by Ottinger. He kicked the right pad out.
Is that the highlight of the series?
Oh, that save?
Yeah.
Oh, that was tremendous.
What is the number one highlight of Stars Knights so far as the Dallas Stars win their third straight game against the defending champs? First team to hold serve at home, and they're one win away from moving on to the next round.
It could
be. Is it Sagan with the bloody nose? What's the shot? What's the play or the image of the series so far?
I think the few that jump into my head could be
Wyatt Johnston.
The Johnston game winner.
The overtime game winner.
You lose that game, you're down 0-3.
The one off the helmet. Was it the Donoff off the helmet? Yeah. And then this. Those are the three that come to mind.
Ottinger is a wall. Well, you were just talking to me about a wall in the commercial break. Let me come up with something.
Big, beautiful
else.
Wall.
We're not paying for it. I caught a Mo Rivera earlier. That's what he has been in the third periods of these games. He stopped all 55 shots, and he did it again last night, including the extension. The extension right there, sticking out the right leg.
Yeah, it was a tremendous save. And that's a series saving save. Who knows what happens if that goal goes in? And, like, you know, how many times are you going to have basically a clean look like that with 3 minutes to go when you're trailing? The Stars were an absolute prevent form of defense, and to still be able to get that look for Vegas, I mean, they were not going to get a better look. There was not going to be a better chance there. I mean, he had a clean break, and Otter just stopped him, and that was potentially a series clincher and saver. I mean, who knows what happens if that goes in? You go to overtime, you get a bad penalty, whatever. That was tremendous.
And how many, did you let out two of them in your living room or wherever you're watching? Bobby watching nine different things, apparently, at a high school event. Netter almost went in, and the commentator's like, and the Stars get an empty, and it was saved at the last second by Vegas. I mean,
there was one that was out
then
there
went
by
wide
a
left.
Foot. Yeah, one by a foot that he said it just before it went across the goal line. And then the other one just missed. And then I don't know how the Stars missed a 3-on-0. They had a 3-on-0 break and they missed. Like that never happens. I mean, how do you miss that? But it was so it should have been 5-2. That game really 6-2. When you count those empty netters, I mean they should have been much higher and much more of a margin of victory in this one. They were that much better.
4-2, according to Money Puck, is what it is. You can shake your head, Sean. The analytics.
I hope that website gets a virus.
Wrong. The analytics are going to take
it's
over.
It's a great website.
They've already taken over.
It did talk about how they're big on 5-on-5 numbers and how, like, the New York Rangers are like a mid-pack team on 5-on-5, so they could be, you know, ripe for an upset.
Yeah, the deserve to win-o-meter said Dallas 70% chance deserve to win this game.
Deserve to win-o-meter?
The deserve to win-o-meter. It's a series of simulations based on the analytics that say how likely is it this team wins. It says the Stars 70%, Sean.
The best part of this website, Sean, is that it looks like it was made in 1997. Yeah. It looks like this is how I envision Canada being with their internet. Just a little bit behind us.
Pete DeBoer, finally, one team being able to get a home win.
Yeah, I think obviously critical. I mean, we're a good home team. We take pride in playing at home all year. I think we have the best crowds in the league here, as you saw tonight, and the building's electric. And, you know, it's a little uncharacteristic of us to lose the first two at home. I'm not even sure we deserve to lose two, but we did. But credit to our group. You know, there wasn't a lot of believers at that point, and we went on the road into a tough environment and, you know, kind of rolled up our sleeves and went to work. And, you know, you look up and 6 days later, you got a 3-2 lead and a chance to close out the Stanley Cup champion. So work's not done yet. We've got some heavy lifting to do, but just proud of our group.
All right, yesterday I asked which Game 5 you felt more confident in. I said Mavs. Peyton said Stars pretty emphatically. We both looked like geniuses. Choppy, who did you say? Mavs or Stars?
I thought the Stars had a better chance. I thought the Mavs were going to lose.
Okay.
Last night without Kawhi.
I thought the Mavs were going to win by 30, and I thought the Stars would win this game pretty
by
easily.
One.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Look more dominant than the actual score.
Yeah, I texted you guys.
I'm glad you said that. Yeah, you didn't check in with us at all yesterday.
I know. Parenting is hard. I don't think I'm going to do that anymore.
Man. It was like 12 o'clock. I'm like, I still haven't heard from Bobby. Let's go ahead and check in. All right. So since you called it perfectly, we're going to give you the first chance to answer this one.
Hit me.
Which series, if not both, do you consider the most over? Mavs and Stars both up 3-2. Which one do you feel the most confident? Now, get ready for the jinxers. Get ready for everyone to get mad.
Shinx.
You shinxed it.
Settle down just a little bit.
Which one, if
Mavs.
Any, are done?
Mavs.
Is done.
Yeah, it's Mavs, but it's funny. It feels like two similar series in the sense that, like, it takes the Clippers making 23s to beat the Mavericks. It took what felt like unsustainably great luck defensively for Vegas to beat Dallas in the first couple games.
Yeah, that, man, I had a lot of people complaining on this text chain I'm on and on social media. That ice was
the Hood Rats?
No, not the Hood Rats. The ice was not great last night. It was very, very bouncy.
How do you see that?
I said that a lot.
Hockey people could see that.
Take me inside that observation.
I mean, I can't really use the words they were using, but they're like, ice is messy tonight. It's messy tonight. But it sucks.
How do you know that, though?
The puck's bouncing, and it wasn't a puck that had been on the ice for 10 minutes without stoppage, and it's not frozen anymore, and it's now just rubber.
Playing faster than those greens at Las Colinas.
Yeah, there you go. Like, absolutely. Man. I don't know. So everybody was complaining about the ice. Now, that was a problem at Reunion when they got to the finals, and it was like June, and it was 120 degrees outside, and the ice was melting. You know, it shouldn't be the problem here yesterday, but I feel much better that the Mavs series is over. I think the Stars are clearly the better team. But Vegas is still good.
Yeah.
They have a home game here to get to game 7. And, like, I don't know, there's something about them being a defending champs, and the Clippers are a team of known chokers. So I have no faith that the Clippers can come from 3-2 down. I still have a little bit of fear, even though the Stars have shown in 4 of the 5 games, even though they're only won 3 of them, they've shown they're the better team. Something about Vegas still does scare me.
Yeah, I mean, are the Clippers, to me, are they going to get 2 more games where they're just hitting an absurd number of threes? Are Paul George and James Harden going to be able to, in 4 separate games, shoot the lights out? To me, that's not possible. There's a better possibility of Vegas playing their style of hockey, but to me, it's both of these are done. But I don't think the Clippers have a shot.
Pepe,
yeah, I mean the Clippers look toast yesterday. That's what the 817 says. Clippers are toast.
Pepe, you can't judge everything off just like the previous game.
Yeah, you said the Mavericks were toast yesterday,
and that the Stars are going to get swept. Like, I'm a believer in momentum. So is your momentum defined as like just what happened the game before?
It wasn't just the Mavs didn't just win. It was a beatdown. I mean, you how do you come back? And you're going to Dallas too. How do you come back from that? How do you come back, you know, down, you know, you lost by 30. So I just think obviously momentum, sure. But I mean, the Mavs just looked like the clear better team. And there was no Kawhi. You get over that hump. You come back to Dallas. So I think the Mavericks have the edge.
So what? He thinks the Nationals will win today. He thinks the Stars will win the next game. The Mavericks will win the next game.
1-0 is 30.
Whatever is the previous game winner, that's who Peyton's picking.
It felt like 30.
I think, yes, it did. I think Mavs Clippers is more over as well.
Yeah, I mean, the issue is Vegas are really, I mean, the Clippers are good too, but like they're without their best guy. And I mean, they're just got a team of chokers. Like, Vegas still has...
And geezers.
Yeah, and Vegas still has... I think we all feel that Eichel's the best player on the ice. Non-goalie.
Whatever that website says. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Money Puck said that, yeah, Sean.
So he's been... You know, Petrangelo's a really good player.
We call him Petra, but yeah.
Petra.
Did you say Tarantula?
Petrangelo's a really good player, and Marchessault's really good. They got guys that have done it. They're in on everything. And I wonder what kind of changes Cassie's going to make now. Like, he made all these changes for yesterday's game. White Cloud, Kolasar gone. They changed a goalie, which in a 2-2 series in game 5, now you're going to switch out a goalie for a guy who hasn't played in 2 weeks? You're going to bring him in cold?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, you're begging for an easy, soft goal early on.
I mean, they won the cup last year playing like 4 different goalies the whole year. So
yeah, but they stuck with Aiden Hill at the end, right?
Yeah.
I mean, did they not?
Yeah. All right, we got some other NBA fans upset with the late start times.
Yeah, Knicks fans, kick rocks, Sixer fans, stuff your complaints in a sack and burn them. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear your little pity party about the late starts. The Knicks and Sixers have a 9 p.m. start tonight. In Eastern, 9 Eastern.
Mm.
So local time, 9 o'clock. Oh, wow. You got a 9 o'clock start. 1. Call me when you get 4 in a week, and I'll care. All right? You guys are in the Eastern time zone. Now, you guys get screwed for Major League Baseball games. MLB World Series games start at 8:30. That's ridiculous, especially when they were 4-hour games. You get massively boosted for other sports. You get your hockey and NBA games to always, A, start on time. How about that? You never have an 8:50 start. When it says 7 o'clock, it starts at 7 o'clock.
Mm.
And B, they all start at 7 o'clock, a reasonable hour. Meanwhile, we get treated like we live in Hawaii. Okay? So, kick rocks. And as Phoenix said from Fast and Furious, go cry to your mama. Okay, that's what he said in Fast and Furious, which was Bobby, the fourth edition of the film series. Not 3, that was Tokyo Drift. But that's what he said. And let me tell you something. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. We start at 9 o'clock every night. Y'all can handle one night. How about you stop letting Knicks fans into your building, Michael Rubin?
Ooh.
How about you stop buying 2,000 tickets? You hear they did it? They had to buy 2,000 of their own tickets for Game 6. And giving them the first responders. Why? Because they didn't want Knicks fans gobbling them up.
Wow. I'm stunned that Philadelphia would allow this. That invasion.
Yeah, it's a soft city. In general.
Yeah, Philly, that is a bad look.
From what I've heard, they've never embraced the Sixers the way they have some of the other teams. I don't know.
No, I mean, you can't, like, yeah, what? You're giving your icons 18-inch statues and doing all other sorts of things. I wouldn't buy into the Sixers either. One thing I did buy into, by the way, though, I forgot to mention to y'all recently, I did buy the 11-part box set or whatever of Fast and Furious.
What?
Yeah. Not for me. It was for Kristen. But I'm going to have to sit down and watch all of
them.
She
wanted to
She loves Fast and Furious, but she hasn't seen anything after, like, number 6. And so...
You can acknowledge her again for the first time.
The Paul Walker episodes.
Yeah.
7 was his last one. Spoiler alert.
Really? Yeah, CNN spoiled that one for me.
So you went and... Wow. Lib. you went and bought all of them.
I did. They were just sitting there, and I was like, "She's wanted to watch these again." I was like, "I'll just buy."
Has she seen them all already?
She's seen all up to like 6 or 7.
Did you at least spring for Blu-ray?
I just bought whatever was sitting.
And you know, it's amazing. She can watch every single one of them by the time you get back from Midland.
It is about a round trip. So yeah,
are your girls excited to make this drive?
They're so thrilled.
Really?
Yeah, they love road trips.
Is Ubs and Shaw? Yeah, and
It's
a,
I don't know.
Bad Jason Statham.
There's a bunch
that
of
was
them.
Statham?
Ubs and Shaw.
That was your Statham impersonation. What is that?
That is the weirdest British accent I've ever heard.
877-881-1053. Let's see if RJ can make up for that hideousness with some Diamond Cavs on the home of the Rangers. Then Below the Belt is back right here on 105.3 The Fam.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
2-2 the count, and the pitch. Swing and a miss. Look out, the bat goes flying, and that's the ball game. Seager strikes out on the Finnegan splitter, and the Washington Nationals even this series at a game apiece, winning by the final score of 1-0.
Zero offense again.
Zero.
As Corey Seager, what a perfect way to end this game. Seager strikes out, losing the bat.
Losing the bat.
As well.
Mighty Corey has struck out.
Man, did they waste Andrew Heaney last night.
You ain't going to get many like that out of anybody. And when Andrew Heaney does want something like that where he goes seven innings and just the one run, you've got to capitalize. Any game that you only allow one run, I do wonder what the win probability of a game is when you only allow one run. It's got to be dang close to 90% because that's just the nature of the game. You've got to win that game. There's no excuse. It's not like the Nats are throwing – prime Strasburg and Scherzer out there.
Man,
you got to win that game.
Every series is a struggle. Like, okay, maybe they can squeeze one out. Maybe they can win the series with the last game
They are so boring now.
You got to.
Even last night, you get Heaney seven innings. The night before, John Gray eight innings. Everything. Like 15 innings with one run allowed from your starters should still probably look better than like seven strikeouts in 15 innings. Like even when they're getting by, yeah, when they're playing well, it's like it's efficient. It's just it's not sexy at all. They don't play sexy baseball now. It's
you've
boring.
You've got to just buy time. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to buy time until Josh Young gets better. Trying to buy time.
Josh, this whole offense shouldn't just collapse without Josh Young.
But it does. Lineups get less deep. And it's not as nearly extent. And plus, when you add the fact that Seager right now couldn't hit a bull in the butt with a shovel. You're struggling. What are you gonna do? You got no. So you basically have two guys, two of your best hitters. One is unavailable, and one is playing like he's unavailable.
I'm worried that we're overhyping Josh Jung, and I'm worried that we're overrating his impact.
Did it fall apart like this last year when he was out for 6 weeks?
They struggled without.
I know they struggled in general, but I don't remember them just not being able to hit the ball.
Am I crazy for thinking that he was basically an automatic out in the World Series?
In the playoffs, he did not have a good playoff run.
Although, you know what's really surprising? The month of October, I shouldn't have said that because I'm kind of giving something away. What do you think his average was for all the playoffs?
276.
It was 308. I'm shocked.
How many doubles,
He had four doubles. This is for the whole month. Okay? This is for two games against Tampa, all the O's, Astros, and Arizona.
In the postseason, he had eight extra base hits. His OPS was 867.
That's really.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And he had three home runs, eight runs batted in. I just remember different. Maybe I'm just thinking of the World Series. It was like, because I remember it was like, was it breaking balls? Breaking balls is going to automatically strike
out. It was Tampa and Baltimore he raked against. So for the Houston and the Arizona series, he hit 267, and his OPS was a little over 700.
And 266 for the series.
Yeah, 266, 267 is not terrible in today's MLB, right? It's not terrible, but I just think when you have a guy like that that's out of the lineup, your lineup's obviously not as deep. It doesn't get as – you have more weaker hitters in it. And then when Seager is out – or not out, but not hitting, might as well be out. You know, now you're banking on Semien and Adolis, and hey, here comes Nate Lowe. And that's tough. It's tough. These are still major league pitchers.
Don't get me wrong. I think Josh Jung is a stud. I'm just worried. We're like, well, I mean – you're missing the MVP.
He's good. Yeah, I don't want to miss an all-star third baseman. Yeah. Like, he's absolutely valuable. But to me, it's like, it shouldn't be top five offense in the game to unable to have an extra base hit because Josh Jung's out of the lineup.
Today, it's afternoon baseball on this radio station. So, 1 o'clock pregame, 1:30 first pitch. Nathan Eovaldi's on the mound. Don't look at your computers. What's his ERA?
4.15.
3.12.
It's a 3. I was surprised, like you, Bobby, that it was a 3 with the recent struggles. 1-2 with a 3 ERA.
Wow.
You guessed it.
I know, but I'm trying to think because, like, what made you guys think that was... I'm trying to think. Maybe he had a... Yeah, what made you think it was higher?
Well, I mean, because...
Recent games.
Well, peripherally, his FIP is closer to, like, a 4. So it's probably just I'm sitting here thinking of how he's pitched.
He bounced back against the Reds, mm-hmm. 6 innings, 1 earned. But before that, he gave up 3-5. He gave up 5-6. So I thought it was going to be a little bit higher than a 3 with the two previous starts against Atlanta and Houston. But it's against Atlanta and Houston, although Houston sucks.
Yeah, I mean, his last three starts, so half of that's probably why. I'm just thinking of the last three. The last three starts, his ERA is a 4.67.
We had a special NBA surprise the other day with Mike Breen. Apparently, one of the great announcers, Choppy may not be able to participate.
I agree.
In this interview.
I agree.
Heard Below the Belt yesterday without Bobby, and he wants to wipe out Below the Belt today. So Kevin Harlan will join us in place of Below the Belt.
Are you gonna ask him?
Ask him
about his regular season energy.
I mean,
Listening. Let's not talk about this. We love Kevin Harlan.
He's my favorite.
I think Kevin's fantastic. I just think he's better in the playoffs.
He's my favorite.
Diamond Cass, what else you got?
Okay. The MLB writers,
thanks, Skip Bayless,
are beating the drum, trying to make the Houston Astros relevant. It's very, very odd. There is article after article. It's almost as if they are trying to will Houston into a hot streak.
It's the John Smoltz effect.
Yeah. There was an entire article written about how the Astros went to Mexico City over the weekend, symbolizing a fresh start for the Houston Astros. And all they had on their board was a simple message. Introductions, 3:45 p.m. Be on the field. No instructions of pregame. No, you know, hey, BP this time. Just introductions at 3:45. That's it. And this entire article is talking about how the Astros, losers of 8 of 9, or have lost 18 of their first 25 games of the year. And they've, you know, blah, 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 blah. Their bullpen is allowing 24 runs in 32 innings. And this whole Mexico City trip. See, they went to Mexico City and they won 3 in a row. Whoop-de-doo.
In your face, Chop.
They're back, baby. Now, granted, the rest of the division has completely let them off the hook, the point where they're like 5 games back, but they lose last night to the Guardians in extras 3-2. Major League Baseball writers are trying their damnedest to make sure that we don't forget the Houston Astros.
It's
very, very annoying.
It's the Crimson Tide effect. It's what everybody was trying to do with Alabama last year. It's the same thing. It's the, we're just going to assume they got it together.
But some teams deserve that treatment.
Not the Astros, not the way they've been playing.
They've been a dynasty.
Not the way that they've played,
though. They've been
though.
A near dynasty.
They are a perfect fight.
If the Cowboys started off 1-4, the same thing would be happening. What's the difference? I know it's America's team. The Astros aren't as big as the Cowboys, but the Astros are a big-time team in Major League Baseball.
But wouldn't we also say, everybody needs to stop pretending like the Cowboys are playing well nationally?
It would still be a humongous topic.
But it's still silly. It's just as silly. I'm not saying that it's, unexpected.
Done?
Yes. I'm not saying it's unexpected. I just think it's silly.
Do you want to bet on where they finish in the West?
Are we going to bet lion urine or whatever under the nose?
No, I have coyote urine on the way. We could do that,
do
too.
Do you really get that,
no,
too?
No, no,
all
no.
Right,
but
nice.
I will, yeah.
Just go reach into your gully behind your house and grab one.
Yeah, my house is going to smell like the Katy Trail bathroom or wherever they have just, you know, the troughs.
Mating season is going to be wild in your backyard.
I know.
Holy cow.
Coyote's gone wild, yeah.
Yeah, coyote's gone wild. All right, so let's do this next one.
They won't finish better than third.
Ooh.
Okay.
All right. Let's bet it.
All right.
Did Major League Baseball change the ball again? It appears they did.
It's still white and red, right? With stitching?
It is. Okay. In 2023, in April, one Major League Baseball team had 50 home runs, 4 had 40, 10 had 35, and 18 had 30. This year, 0 hit 50, 1 hit 40, 1 hit 35, and only 8 hit 30. Home runs are so down. There were as many clubs that hit 35 home runs or more last year in April, then hit 30, 35, and 40 combined this month, this first month. So why don't they just manufacture the baseball with a machine so all of them are the same and there's no complaints and there's no issue like, oh, is the ball juiced this year? Oh, is the ball tighter this year?
Yeah.
Stop having someone tie it like a shoelace. All right, you don't need someone out there
knitting,
needling, crocheting this baseball.
Do you know anyone who knits?
My sister. My sister can.
The wine collector.
The wine collector. She has a sewing machine. She sews and crochets and knits and does all the things.
Okay.
But can we just manufacture a baseball that is consistent every single week?
I feel like we've never gotten an answer on whether it's been doctored and all that stuff, too. Yeah,
we never have.
They go after the pit, every pitcher.
Yeah.
Let me check your hands. Let me check your glove.
Right.
But they can change this thing, juice it up, deflate, all the things.
Yeah.
Is it possible home runs are down, though, just because the Rangers are hitting like they're hitting?
I mean, it could be. It could be.
Nice.
Like, exit velocity is, you know, down. I mean, it's just.
Josh Young fixed the Major League Baseball home run problem.
Yeah, there you go. It's Josh Young. That's it. Nike is.
I cannot believe you're not touching the Trout audio you sent.
I will.
Not in this segment?
Oh, yeah. I can play it time. Plenty of time.
Okay.
All right. Fine. We'll get to it right now. Stephen A. Smith.
Whatever you want to talk about the most, I just thought you would want to talk about it.
I do. Stephen A. Smith went after Mike Trout. And good. Stephen A. Smith, we love him, could not be more wrong.
Well, it's driving me crazy. And let me tell you this, Mike Trout is a sensational player when he's healthy. One of the greatest. He really, really is. And I'm a huge, huge fan. But I've grown disgusted with his lack of availability. It makes me question, I know he looks the part. What the hell are you doing to take care of yourself? Always injured. I mean, damn, it's baseball. I mean, what are we talking about here? Mm. This is not football. Not boxing. It's not the UFC. You're not running up and down the court 94 feet basketball for 82 nights a year. It's baseball. Half the time, y'all out standing out in the outfield, you know, chewing on pumpkin seeds or something, waiting for a fly ball to come your way. How the hell is he always hurt?
What are you clapping for?
Because I'm glad that there's just anything counter to what Peyton and Choppy were whining about in the show text the other day.
About?
Oh, I'm going to miss Trout so much. He's out again. I feel so bad for Trout. Just a bunch of Trout stands. It was pathetic.
You don't appreciate watching like a great player?
He's good. They were having a funeral over here for Trout being out for a month.
Because he was crying. He was in tears. He was in tears.
What I was going to say is this is the most, this time of year is the biggest nightmare for people like Nick Wright, Stephen A. Smith. Yeah.
105 to fans.
Those that have to comment on baseball.
It is.
Well, I'm sorry. This isn't the biggest nightmare time of the year. My apologies.
July.
It's the baseball postseason.
Yeah.
When they get into the playoffs or when there's a story like this, that's why they're like, please let this happen on Wednesday with Chris Russo. Please let this happen. Please. Because Stephen A. Smith knows nothing about baseball. He'll go on a Yankee rant because they're the biggest team and he's not going to get shredded. I don't even know if people will take him seriously enough to kill him for the point that baseball players really don't have the right to get injured. Yeah. That's the biggest takeaway from that clip. It's baseball. How can you get hurt?
Right. Like
he knows nothing about it.
And I'll explain this. Like they're very.
He at least admits he doesn't know anything about hockey. That's like you know that's something he doesn't hide. But they have to try to pretend they know a little bit about baseball.
Yeah. For the most part in baseball, you either go 0 or 60. Right, you're either standing still or you're in an all-out sprint.
Oh, I thought you were telling us Trout's games played.
You're either standing still or you're in an all-out sprint. Whereas in basketball, like you jog up the floor. You jog, then to sprint. Like it's a gradual. There's no gradual in baseball. You either stopped or sprinting. And
Mike Trout's just not training.
Right.
He's not training in the offseason.
He's 6'2".
He doesn't want it bad enough.
He's an absolute look at his neck. His neck is the size of your thigh.
Yeah.
Smoltz said the same thing with us when he was on with us at the Invited Classic. He said, if you just redline your engine all the time, you're going to blow it out. Well, it's the same thing in baseball. You either are throwing max effort or you're running max effort. There's no kind of in between. You don't pace yourself unless you're grounding the ball back to the pitcher.
Below the belt is canceled for the second day in a row to talk about the Mavericks and the great Kevin Harlan joining Sean and RJ next.
Tucker is in there again on Doncic. They'll double him with Westbrook. In the corner, three.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
The great Kevin Harlan with the call. He will be joining us momentarily. Thanks to TC Tim Collins for hooking it up here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. It's DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan while Peyton tracks down Kevin. Shaquille O'Neal, very, very disappointed in the Clippers' effort and performance, getting waxed by 30 last night.
They had no energy. They had no fight. They had no enthusiasm. Then they tried to play hero ball. at the end by shooting those three. Like, you know, Paul had a surge of scoring late, but too late by then. You know, you can't be the go-to guy and have 5 points in the first half, unless you're in foul trouble. And he definitely was not in foul trouble. So, you know, that's why I'm not really never been on the Clippers bandwagon, because those two guys are too inconsistent for me. You know, you can't go from 33 to 7 and 15 or whatever you had. Disappointing.
Always have to be careful in asking this question because we know the reality. So I'm going to ask, in your mind, is Paul George a Hall of Famer?
It's the NBA. Yes.
Yeah, based on the
That's
basketball.
Not what I just prefaced everything so that you all didn't answer it that way. I just said,
No, he's not.
No, listen.
That again.
Not again. Is he, in your mind, a Hall of Famer? That's why I prefaced it.
No.
Yeah, again, yes, because you have to take that into account. You can't separate.
Yes, you can.
You can.
You can you can. That's our Eli Manning argument. You just weren't listening to it, and then you're trying to cover it.
No. The standard for the
basketball. Do you think Paul George is a Hall of Famer in your mind, Ralph James Choppy, as a sports fan?
Because the standard of basketball Hall of Fame has been set.
Oh, my God.
And listen. And the Eli Manning standard has not been set because Jim Plunkett's not in the Hall of Fame. And he's got a two-time.
Do you think Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer?
No. But the Pro Football Hall of Fame standard is different, and it's been set.
Okay, so fine. So for the rest of the time when we have this NBA discussion, you can never say that guy doesn't deserve to get in.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And
what?
I don't say that. And I've never said he doesn't deserve it. Like, Chris Webber is not
You don't think we can have a discussion about whether a guy deserves to be in? You're just going to say he's going to get in, so he is a Hall of Famer in your mind.
Right.
You can't say to yourself, that guy's
not
trash.
You're completely missing what I'm trying to say. The Basketball Hall of Fame has zero standard to it. We all agree on that.
That's what I said at the start of the segment.
Okay.
Yes.
So that is my threshold for the Hall of Fame. Football has a standard, right? And you hold guys to a standard there. That's different. I don't put, you know, Jim Plunkett has got two rings. He is not in the Hall. Is it Plunkett or Stable? I think it's Plunkett.
Plunkett.
He has, and he's not in. So Eli Manning is not guaranteed a spot just by having two rings. So the threshold is just different.
So we don't get to debate basketball Hall of Famers then, is what you're saying.
Yeah, because it's a meaningless acknowledgement.
Okay.
The basketball Hall of Fame,
let me rephrase it for you.
Would he make it
in the NFL? If there was a RJ Choppy NBA Hall of Fame, would you put Paul George in?
Yeah, if they had the NFL or Major League Baseball standards, then no.
Just the RJ Choppy.
Yours. Why are you just making it so difficult? Do you think he's a Hall of Fame-esque player in your mind?
Oh. Yeah, in my mind, no. I can't separate.
Like in what you're
I refuse to separate.
Okay.
Because the NBA
stick on your point.
Has made that so meaningless.
Okay.
Do you think, meaningless.
Do you think
I have no frame of reference?
Do you think he will get in?
Yeah, he will get in, but I would not put him in. Like for me, for my standard, I would not. I don't look at Paul George. I think of Paul George at his very best is Robin. At his absolute best, he can't ever carry a team. He could never, and even there are times where he falls short of even being Robin. He's more like Alfred at times. And so, to me, no, I would not put him in. But yeah, he will get in because they put all the slaps in the NBA. But no, I would not.
I don't know if he'll get in. I don't know. I don't think of him as good as Chris Webber. Chris Webber was on the fence for a long time. Paul George versus Tony Parker. Paul George versus Ginobili. I don't know. Paul George, very good. My answer is absolutely not.
Is he better than Chauncey?
Chauncey Billups, to me, is not a Hall of Famer. No way.
How many times has he finished top five in the MVP, Paul George?
I would say once.
Once.
Let's bring in the great Kevin Harlan on the D&M Leasing Hotline here on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Kevin. Thank you for joining the show. You can't be in Los Angeles.
I am. I'm heading to the airport and going home for about a day and a half. Nice. And then we'll either do the first game of Minnesota-Denver or we'll do game 7 of the Pacers and Milwaukee. So we're going to wait and see what happens tonight.
Kevin, do you think Paul George is a Hall of Famer?
Oh boy, I don't know. I would 9-time All-Star. Boy, that's interesting. I don't know that I would say that. I know he's had success in his previous stops in Oklahoma City, and he began, of course, at the Pacers, and always considered among, you know, one of the top five. I'd have to see how many All-NBA teams he's made, maybe four, five of the three different teams.
Six. Ooh.
I think he'll be under consideration. His international play for the country will be taken into consideration. And if you look at some of the people that have been put in, playing-wise, they're pretty liberal. And I would think, I hate to say it. I think he would be definitely considered. Sure, he's pretty decorated. He just hasn't won a title.
How stunned were you by a 30-point blowout last night?
Well, very much. You know, Jason came in last night, and we've got a pretty good relationship with him. Our crew does, and he's very honest. And usually he comes in there bouncing pretty good and feeling good about his game tonight and everything. And I think he felt like, gosh, in a swing game like this with Luka not 100% and, you know, thinking that they got some momentum, I mean, the Clippers, and, they've got the home court. It would be a tough game, and it was anything but. That atmosphere in that building for the Clippers is not great. Lakers, it's terrific. Clippers, it's just kind of And I would say that was certainly in favor of the Mavs. Doncic didn't look injured to me at all. I mean, I got to be honest. After watching him labor the other night or afternoon, I was stunned at how easily he was moving and the confidence with his shooting, not necessarily his threes early on. I think he was 0-5 to start from three, but he really picked up. And, of course, the great security blanket there is Irving, because you never know when he's going to detonate and he's going to take off and do what he did the other day. I think coming back from 31 down to eventually take the lead in game four, I think that was significant. I think it gave them all the confidence they needed, regardless of location, of how they were going to handle that game. And they did. And the other thing I'd add is this: when Harden and some of those players begin to miss early, happens with a lot of players, and I shouldn't pick on James. James has had a terrific series. Wasn't necessarily great last night, but sometimes when you miss your shots early, these guys can kind of think about it and they can't get out of it. Luka just continues to fire up. He doesn't care. But some of these other guys, I think some others, it affects. And when you start missing early, now you kind of begin to say, uh-oh, the pressure builds a little bit, and you just wonder where their game is going to take them. And as it turned out for the Mavs, it played right into their hands, and they ran away.
Kevin Harlan joins us here, 105 through the Fan. Sometimes you get a different perspective being up close courtside. Can you tell watching this series that the Mavs are clearly the better team and it's just a matter of time? Or is it closer than that?
I think the Mavs, the way they finished, 16-2, and then they lost the two games at the end where they didn't play everybody. But when they had that run, I think they proved to themselves after the trade and they finally started to kind of concentrate and focus on defense that they could be as good as anyone, maybe not to the level of a champion Nugget team, but they're a unique team with how they're built. But if anyone was going to compete against them, I think the Mavs would have a very good shot. The West is so deep and young and has got a lot of good teams kind of congealing at the same time here. I'm speaking of Minnesota in particular, that road will be a little bit tougher. And I think that the next round, you know, the Mavs, if they go on to win it, could see a very talented but young with not a lot of playoff experience Oklahoma City team, which we just saw sweep New Orleans, and they did it handily. And I thought New Orleans came in with some nice momentum. And after, you know, kind of a close game one, after that, it was, you know, the Thunder just showing what had made them so great all season long. So they're going against some quality teams. There's no cakewalk into the conference finals, but I think I felt like if Harden and George Paul and Paul George were not right, and Paul has kind of been up and down and Harden has been pretty consistent, but they're not getting a ton from anybody else, that the Mavs would be in good position. And sure enough, they are. And I think now the confidence is at an all-time high, And Luka's only going to get better with that knee. And again, didn't show any effects we saw, you know, with courtside last night. I think they're ready to roll. I really do. I wish Hardaway were ready. He got injured the other day in a 5-on-5 practice and kind of went backwards in his getting back from that ankle. If they had Hardaway, I'd feel a heck of a lot better just because off the bench, as we know, he can really have an impact.
You know, Kevin, when we look at the – you talk about Luka Doncic and how he didn't look limited by the injury or anything else. When you've sat in these production meetings with Jason Kidd or Luka Doncic and you hear them, did you get any sense throughout this series so far? Was there any sense of pressing to you from the Mavericks? Like they're aware of what the Clippers have been to them historically and how they're still looking to get over that hump? Because that felt like early on at least – like there may have been a little bit of pressing from Luka, I know, in game one, maybe in game two as well, where it's just like he's aware of this hump he needs to get over with the Clippers.
Well, I think you're always aware of that as an athlete. You know, he's had his best season. This is his sixth season. He's had his best year. He's in the conversation clearly for the MVP. I don't know that he'll get by Gilgeous Alexander or Jokic, but he's right in there in that conversation. And the difference – in any other year would be, you know, I think, you know, it'd be Doncic's year. And who knows, it may be closer than we think. But I think he's got such confidence in all parts of his game. When maybe any of us would consider him pressing, it's really him just trying to, you know, they're crowding him. Clearly, every time he gets the ball, there's a crowd around him. They're trying to limit, you know, the way he can maneuver. But when they get rolling and they move with speed and their pace is terrific, they're a top 10 pace team. And again, Kidd just said, he said, the number one thing is we just got to play fast. We've got to play fast. And they did, and the Clippers couldn't handle it. I don't know how some of these other younger teams would if they would, you know, continue on. That would be a pretty good chore. But every series is different, and every team's makeup is different, and the way you would attack them is always going to vary from team to team and series to series. And that's what'll be interesting here in the next series. If they do win it and go against the Thunder, they'll have, you know, a team that is different than the way the Clippers are put together. Clippers' pace, I think, is 20th. It's in the lower third of the league, so they play a slower game, and that might be by virtue of Harden and the way he wants to go. Although he'll run with anybody, but I think they kind of like to set things up a little bit more. So how the Mavs respond to that will be interesting. And there may be some of that in the back of your mind. We've got to get by this team, which is a team we've, you know, had been familiar with in the postseason. But I don't think much bothers Doncic. I got to be honest. We don't meet with him, by the way, just to be clear. You know, we don't. But, you know, Jason gives us some pretty good insight into the team. And I just don't sense that they blink very often, quite frankly. Going back to the trade, the way they finished – and the way that Irving and Doncic have played, and Kyrie is just, I think he's an amazing player, and more so now than ever before. I think his compass is in the right direction. I just think there's just, like, everything about him right now on and off the floor just seems very comfortable and a good fit, and that he was going to make it fit regardless with this chance to play with Doncic. And I think he respects Kidd. He grew up in New Jersey. He idolized Kidd growing up. I mean, that was his guy. And the New Jersey Nets were good at that time, and he followed him, and he's a fan. So I think there's just a lot there that's at play that builds into the kind of team that they are.
You are the man. Thank you for waking up with us. Continue to be the legend you are. We can't wait to keep watching with the playoffs. Thank you,
Thank
Kevin.
You guys. Always fun. Take care. Thank you.
Great. Kevin Harlan, TNT on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Don't get your Zeke jerseys back out just yet. Below the Belt is next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.